Okay, Angel, let's hear the first one again.
I am frustrated at you because you are so controlling of my life.
So your father controls you. How is that possible? So what does he say or do that sounds like control? I mean, not that we haven't heard some of it, but.
Judgments about what is right, the right thing to do with your life, with one's life.
Can you think of an example?
Like, this person is right to be in a relationship with, but this person is not.
Good. Okay. So you be him, and I'll be a loving human being. Okay? So you be him, and I'm you. So you talk, you say something like that to me.
You know you shouldn't be with those people, or those kind of people are bad to be around.
You know, you could be right. You could be right. And those are my friends. I feel comfortable with them. You know, if that's true for you. Okay, so now you be your father again.
Well, if I'm right, then you won't see that person. And you won't be with that person.
I really hear you.
So what are you going to do? You know you have to leave him, right? You can't spend time with him.
I don't really know that yet.
Well, you better know by tonight.
You know, maybe I will know by tonight. Maybe I will.
We'll report every half hour and let me know how you're doing.
I don't know if I can do that.
Well, you know you have to be happy. You know you have to eventually. Whether it's in half an hour or tonight, you know you have to eventually to be happy, right? Right?
You could be right. I respect your wisdom, and I'm just not there yet.
Well, this is a problem. This is a huge problem.
But you see what's happening is I'm not being controlled, but I'm really listening. But you have experience that she doesn't have. And if we could hear other people, there'd be no suffering in the world. But until you take care of your own over her, you're just telling her everything you need to hear to make your life a better life. And then there's no better attraction for our children than to see someone who's living a happy life, and we're not a requirement for it. That it's possible to be happy without dependency. But we don't get that until we do our homework the way that you did today. But no one can control my life. But that's because I'm a listener. And every word you said, I took in. He really could be right. So now I'm more watchful, not more suspicious. I'm just more aware. But it doesn't mean I'm going to drop my relationships. It doesn't mean I'm going to change my way of life. I'm just open. Like, you're with your friends because that's giving you what you see as a better life, a happier life. That's what we're all looking for. So ultimately, he could be right, but what you want is a happy life. That's why you do what you do. So knowing that, I'm going to be open to my father, my mother. I'm going to be open to everyone, my friends. I'm going to be open because it's that I'm after. And also, that's what heroin brings. You know, it's like having a happy life as long as it lasts. We're looking for a happy life. That's it. So your father controls you. Is that true?
No. It's not absolutely true. It feels true at times.
Yeah, it feels true when we believe it.
Right.
So can you think of another example where he controls you? What I'm asking for is, where's your proof? You know, these people in your lives that control you, where's your proof? Take it out and look at it.
Right. I guess I've pretty much proved he can't control me. To prove that he cannot control me.
Very good. Yeah, so he cannot control. You got it, honey. That's it. So how do you react? How do you treat your father and yourself when you believe this, that he controls you? How do you live your life?
I live it in fear. I live it unhappy. I live it
Then how defensive. Do you treat your defensive? So you treat him with defense?
Mm-hmm. Not wanting to talk to him, thinking everything he's going to say to me is going to manipulate me somehow or change me somehow.
So we miss their wisdom. We miss it. But once, you know, you do this work for a while and you learn that every human being could be right. So we open to it and we listen, and it doesn't mean we're going to do what they say. But that could be the key to a happier life. And if they come at me for 15 years and say one wise thing that could better my life, if I'm shut down to it, I'll miss it. So I just want to be open to all of it. So who would you be in the presence of your father without this lie, he controls me?
More relaxed, like you said, more open. Just I would see him for who he was and not someone who's an enemy.
So he tries to control me, turn it around?
He does not try to control me, or I control myself.
And there's another one, I
control him.
Yeah, how sweet it is. How do you control him?
I guess in a lot of ways. Or I feel like I am. Yeah. By maybe reacting out to something he said, and or doing the opposite, or by shutting down, by not talking.
Very good. Just so noticing these. And as you notice, it might bring you laughter as you're noticing, and the two of you can just laugh together, and you might say, you know, I'm trying to control you. And you can say, well, no wonder, I've been trying to control you. And then it leaves like another ground to begin on. Yeah. Let's look at the next one.
He tells me my life should be lived a certain way and doesn't approve of my life if I don't live it that way.
Turn it around.
I tell me my life should be lived a certain way and don't approve of my life if I don't live it that way.
Yeah. Can you find it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that as true or truer?
It's much truer.
Yeah.
Because it hits deeper.
Yes, honey. Yeah. Can you find another turnaround?
I tell him that he should live his life a certain way, and I don't approve of his life when he doesn't live it that way.
As true or truer?
Which is true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we turn out to be them.
Well, I was going to say that's frustrating because, well, stop controlling me, but you're doing the exact same thing to that person.
Exactly. So I say, you know, we're ageless. You know, there's no old or young. They're only concepts. And we all have the same ones. And we've been wrestling with these forever. And that's why it's so hard for us to progress. And the planet reflects that back, and the environment. And we're just still struggling with, he's trying to control me, she's trying to control me. Doesn't leave a lot of room for progress. But if you go back to your history books and you look, it's the same story. And we're still trying to control our thoughts. So now we're meeting them in another way. Let's look at the next one.
I want my father to stop trying to make me feel incapable of running my life.
Turn it around.
I want me to stop making me feel incapable of running my life.
Where do you go with that one?
If I felt capable of running my life, then I wouldn't feel like I was being controlled.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. I felt like I was capable of making something of my life.
Can you find another turnaround?
I want to stop making him feel incapable of running his life.
Good. Where are you going with that one?
I guess in some ways I think I know how he should run his life too, how he should react with me,
how he should treat you.
How he should treat me.
What he should think about you, yeah.
how he should act with other people.
Yeah, it's when we start looking at it and we turn it around, it just gets huge. We really do turn out to be them. And the way that that works is our thoughts are projected out onto them. So it's not really them. They're not the thing that's going on. It's our story of them. And then everything they say, we project meaning to. But it's still us projecting the meaning to it. And this shows that up. It puts the light on it. So it leaves you to know that you're the only one to deal with in, you know, this thinking. And then as you work with your thinking, the rest of life, it becomes simple. Because it's clear to see what is useful in your life and what isn't. Because you're clear. And it's like when we know fire burns, no one has to tell us to move it. So as we become clear, which is what happens when we question what we believe, we go into a situation that used to be beautiful and we just notice we've outgrown it. And it's just no one did anything. It's just that you question what you believe and we outgrow. We outgrow and we outgrow and our lives become richer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We begin to meet our heart's desire, which is all we're doing in everything we do. Let's look at the next one.
I want him to take care of himself and not everyone else.
Turn it around.
I want me to take care of me and not everyone else.
And not him.
And not him.
Yeah, you take care of yourself. And that's how you can best take care of him. When you're taking care of yourself, that's all he wants in the first place.
Right, which is, I mean, this statement has a lot of mix because, you know, I feel like I have to take care of him by doing what he sees for me.
So ask him if he needs you to take care of him.
Do you need me to take care of you?
And think about it. Everyone go in. Think about it before you answer.
On the surface, I would say, well, no, I don't need you to take care of me. I'm taking care of you. But in light of the previous discussion, maybe I do need you. I need you to be the daughter of my vision. So maybe that's part of my need.
So you need your daughter to take care of you. Is that true?
In a way.
What a world. I think I'll have children so they can take care of me.
Some people think that.
It's a thought.
Ideally, everybody would be able to take care of themselves and have something left over to help other people.
Bingo. You know when I need you? When you help me. Not 1 second sooner. You know when I don't need you? When you don't help me. It all plays out. It's going on all the time. And it's always in the moment. It's always reality. How do you react when you're alone and you think the thought, I need my daughter to take care of me? And she doesn't.
And I'm alone?
Uh-huh. How do you react when you think that thought? I need my daughter to take care of me, and she's not there.
I panic.
Give me a peaceful reason to believe that you need your daughter to take care of you.
Even to think that I need her to take care of me makes me helpless.
Yes. And dependent. Who would you be if you didn't believe that? I need my daughter to take care of me.
I'd be much lighter.
Yeah. Less dependent, less of a victim, a lot of perks. And who would I be without that thought that I need my children to take care of me? I have freed them up. They don't have to take care of themselves to be there for me. They're as free as I would like to be in that situation.
Part of this, I think, is this inescapable tension from the infant stage where you really are interdependent, where you really do need to take care of that.
But you don't know it. You don't have it. You're not even thinking or talking. You're not dependent. You're an infant. You don't know. You haven't been taught about those things yet.
Right. And then it's this, what some people call letting go. It's so hard.
Babies are born let go.
Babies are born to let go?
No, they are already let go.
They don't feel any need to take care of their parents. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? But the parents feel the need to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. They feel better when they do that. They look at a dirty diaper and they think, ooh, I wouldn't like that, so they change it. Yeah, and they think, oh, the baby's much happier now. That's why the baby doesn't cry. You know, so it all fits into what we believe. Everything is proof to the mind.
And you want to keep changing those diapers.
If you want to be happy.
And then later on, you try to find something equivalent to the dirty diaper, some way you can help that child. Some kind of a mess.
So ask her if she needs your help.
Do I have to?
No.
Yvette, do you need my help?
I don't need it to be okay.
Give him the ways that would be really nice, where you would really like his help.
For example, one way that you have helped, I mean, just giving me a roof for a little while over my head. That's a great way to help. That's been really nice. Listening without pouncing, braced to react. That's a great way to help. And I've had that experience once with you, and that's great. Where you listen without reacting. Those things are really nice to have. And those help. But I don't need that to be okay. It's not what's going to make me okay.
So it's nice to check in with her and say, you know, what do you need? And then she'll tell you, and then you give it when it makes you happy. When it feels right. And when my children are happy, I noticed I'm happy. I found this work. And my daughter, you know, it's like waking up to what's true and what's not in the moment. And what was true was my daughter had a brand new red Camaro that I bought for her. And she was driving alcoholically. And she would go out at night and then come back at really weird hours and sleep all day and get up when the sun started coming down, maybe, and bathe, dress, give me the look, and grab her car keys and leave again. It was like that. So I did this work. I did this work. And then when she would come in 2, 3, 4 in the morning, the privilege of her presence, that's all I wanted, was everything. Because she survived. It's like I had her dead 1,000 times. I had her killing other people. It was amazing, the life I held out for her, you know, in my mind. And then she'd show up alive. It defied my thinking. And then she would give me the look and go to her room and slam the door. And the reason I'm telling this story is that's what happened. She would tell me something, and I would go in with my morality, with my I know what's best, with all my advice, every way I could do it, syrupy nice. I was good, I can tell you that. I was good. She bought none of it. None of it. So then when I began to question what I believe, and it was genuine, I saw her the way I saw your daughter, the way I see you. That's a privilege. And then she began to trust me. And she began to tell me things. Before, I would have bitten her head off. I would have, oh my God, how can you do that? You're killing me. You're ruining your life. And because I questioned my mind, I could hear her. So she would tell me more and more and more. And I would listen and listen. And then she began to ask my advice. And when someone asks your advice, that's an open door. When I gave advice, it was a closed door. But the asking, that's when you receive. So it was miraculous, actually. But whether that happened or not, that wasn't it. I was finding freedom. And I was finding that I didn't have to use my children for stability, my happiness, my reputation. Not, I was after freedom. And in that, my children have found freedom. She's amazing. One day she fell into my lap. She came in and she fell into my lap and she said, Mom, you know, I can't do this anymore. You know, that stuff you're giving all these people, would you give it to me? And that was her last, she says that's the last time that she drank, did drugs. But it was that thing I was talking about. She wants happiness like all of us. And she found someone who had found it, and it made sense to her. But that's only because it made sense to me. I was through conning me, so I was through conning her. And it's always a beginning. It's a process. It's not a quick fix. It's a process. Just watch her die in your mind over and over and over. And the story of her friends, maybe you've never met. Hard to tell our parents about our friends so they can share our life with them when we as parents have stories about these people. I have a friend that her teenage daughter, she went into a teen thing and to pick her up, and she was under the blanket with this 17-year-old, and her daughter is 14, under the blanket there. And her mind did the story. And so she violently runs in and does this whole number and wonders why the daughter really isn't speaking to her anymore. But what she did when we did the work with it, and what she discovered was she didn't get to meet this young man that's probably wonderful. She doesn't know what was going on under the blanket. I mean, it was all her mind. So she's missing her daughter's life. She's living in her daughter's life, the dream of her daughter's life, not her daughter's life in reality. Let's look at the next one, honey.
My father should slow down and not always be so busy.
Your father should slow down. Can you absolutely know that that's true?
No. No.
How do you react when you think the thought he should slow down and he doesn't?
I feel frustrated. I feel unloved, unseen.
Yeah, like he's busy doing that and it leaves you as a secondary. So does that thought bring peace or stress into your life? My father should slow down.
Bring stress.
So who would you be when your father is running around and doing his thing, doing his full-blown thing? You see it? Who would you be without the story he should slow down? So close your eyes. Now watch him. He's really doing his thing. Can you get a picture of him? Okay. Now watch him. Watch him without your story. He should slow down and be with me, or he should slow down and be here for me, or he should slow down. Just watch him. What do you see?
I would be relaxed, I would be peaceful, and I would be appreciative of the times where he was present with me.
Yeah. Just watching this guy just doing his thing, huh? Just relaxed.
More, yeah, and I would have more time to worry about me.
Yeah, take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be there for you. So he should slow down, turn it around.
I should slow down and not always be so busy.
And be there, hear him. Listen, be present, and get to know him. Just slow down. And that could be your mind, you know, just slow down and hear him. Listen, be open to it, because there's no way he can control you. There's no way anyone has ever controlled another human being. It's like someone could take my hand that's very strong and move it to this position, but sooner or later, if they let go, I can move it back. But the pain of it is my thoughts as they're doing that. What I think about them, what I think about me, what I think about control, that's what's painful. Because my arm doesn't mind going there. But these thoughts that I'm living through, that's what's painful. So turn it around.
I should slow down.
Can you see another turnaround?
My father should not slow down.
So that's permission to for him to be who he is, since that's who he is. He does it anyway, permission or not. But it's more peaceful inside of us. The next one.
He's always trying to fix everyone. I just want approval.
He's always trying to fix someone. Is that true? That he's always doing that?
Not when he's sleeping.
So it's not true. So how do you react when you think that thought? He's always trying to fix someone. You think that thought and he wants to be with you, or he calls you and you think the thought, he's always trying to fix someone. How do you react when you believe that?
I feel unsafe in a way. I feel...
So tell him. How do you treat him when you think the thought he's always trying to control everyone?
I feel tense. I don't feel in control of myself. I lose maybe balance or focus. And then I feel nervous. I feel unsafe.
I didn't know that. It's good to know.
Are there any other questions you'd like to ask her?
I think the question that keeps coming to me is maybe something I shouldn't ask. I keep thinking, well, would you like to try to, should we each do the work? Should we each try to pursue these ideas that we've been? No, why should I even ask? I'm going to pursue these ideas. And if sometime you want to talk about it, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Someone will call that unconditional love. It's just wisdom in action. Okay, honey. So read that one again.
He's always trying to fix everyone.
So turn it around.
Either he's not always trying to fix someone, or I'm always trying to fix someone, or everyone.
So tell me about that.
Well, I feel tense when I feel that he's trying to fix people, because I feel maybe I should be taking care of everybody. Maybe I should be helping everybody, and if somebody has a problem, maybe that is my space or my fault or my problem.
Yeah. Okay, and now just put your father's name on it. I'm always trying to fix.
I'm always trying to fix Dad. Yeah.
So tell me about that and direct it at your dad.
I want you to change so that I can feel okay about me. I want to fix you.
Yeah, so you're finding the peace there. Yeah, finding the pieces. Good. Let's look at the next one.
I just want approval at the end.
Yeah. So tell him again. Like, Dad, I really just want your approval.
Yeah, it does want to be love without being bantered with.
Yvette, you're amazing. Right now, I approve of you. I love you just the way you are. It's a strange experience. I hope it will last.
Yeah, but you know you have that deep discussion that you longed for.
My goodness, have we had it?
Yeah. And when you're coming from an equal place with her, it could be that you're always going to have it, or that there's more of a possibility of it. But when she has a discussion with you, you listen for ways to change her. That's not a discussion that anyone really wants to have with you.
That's propaganda.
Yeah. So those discussions are up to you, and then she'll enter into them or not.
You know, what I'm worried about, I'm thinking, how am I going to keep from being messed up by other adults who try to suck me back into the world of, you've got to fix her, you've got to do this, you've got to control her, you've got to save her, you've got to, she's going to be dead.
So you be a compilation of all those people, and I'll be you, a loving human being, a listener.
So you went to this, Katie Byron Banshaw? Weird, kind of. I heard weird things about it. You didn't really buy into that, did you?
Some of it, yes.
Okay, but now, just a minute. You're not gonna go weird on me and start saying that you're not worried about your daughter anymore, that you're just gonna let her go off and do drugs and, you know, I mean, what did she say anyway?
Well, it's more about what I think.
Just a minute. Surely you realize that the chances of her living till next Christmas are only 20%.
You know, I really don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's what somebody told me.
They could be right. It's not my opinion, but I respect theirs.
I'm going to check on that, but...
We're betting on your life here, honey.
Okay, just a minute here. You've got to get her away from her boyfriend. There's no way he will survive. Do you know anything about this guy?
Do you know anything about him?
Just what my... The guy that, you know, that knows my sister told me.
Okay, so what I know about him is what the guy who knows my sister told me. I haven't met him.
Well, actually, I did meet him, and it's hard.
Okay, I met
him. Who am
him.
I? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you? You have met him?
I have.
You have met him, but, and weren't you just, didn't you just want to beat him up and kick him out? Mm-hmm.
I did.
Why didn't you?
I don't know.
You don't seem to know very much. Didn't you just kind of get your head on straight
Well, here's what happened. I was so angry at him, and I so wanted to kill him that I really didn't meet him.
Oh. Okay, why don't you just make this simple? Just handcuff her to her bed at night, have somebody with her during the day, and carry a shotgun. Make sure that none of these friends come around. I mean, what's wrong with you?
That's an idea. I'll talk to her about it and see what she thinks.
Just a minute. Isn't she the addict?
So ask her, you, the real father, ask her, like, what would she think about that? Like, I'm worried about you. And what do you think about this tactic?
Yeah. That scenario. How did that scenario sound to you, Yvette?
Might as well go back to jail.
So tell him what you think about that. May as well go back to jail, and what else?
Doesn't sound like you have any trust or faith in me.
Well, this is what my friends are telling me.
So you basically don't want me to live, basically. You want me alive, breathing, but not to live.
Wait, you're listening, honey.
It sounds as I play back this scenario, it sounds pretty much like a prisoner of war scenario. Not much of a life.
No.
No, I think we can do better than that.
And if you're addicted and that ever does sound good to you, I'm available for it. Come to me. And we'll find the handcuffs and I will do what I need to do to protect you from anyone. But I want you to know that I'm available for whatever it takes. If that ever does sound appealing to you, I love you.
That's probably a better application, because Yvette, have you ever thought that maybe it's normal for me to want to protect you?
I do. It seems an odd timing in my life, now that I've been living on my own for several years.
But I really like this idea of saying, well, when you feel the need for protection, here's how to contact me.
So take it in. Because who knows where we're going? Who knows when that might sound good? It's a nice option. Okay, now, the last thing when he said, do you remember what?
I was asking about,
does it feel comfortable to you or normal to you that I would want to protect you?
Yeah. And you said, yes, I heard you agree that that's understandable. But then, did you feel the jab coming from you? Just that little, like, poke in him? Okay, good. What was that about? How could you communicate that differently? Like, yes, it's understandable. And then that last part, rather than poking him, just express it in another way. So okay. Tell him.
I do. I feel like it would take some time for me to understand that that is what you wanted, because I haven't felt like I've been protected in the past. When I was a little girl, when I was a teenager, I didn't feel protected by my father. I didn't even feel my father was really present.
Address it to him.
I didn't even feel like you were around. You didn't know the names of my friends. You didn't talk about certain things that happened. And I moved on. And I found other ways and other people to protect me. And then now that you're around to protect me, it feels foreign, and it feels safe in some ways, but foreign in other ways.
Okay, this is communication. Anytime you feel one of those jabs coming on, stop and think, you know, how can I express it differently? But for your sake, because does it feel better? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the jabs are
Right, then you say what you really want to say.
Good. And this guy's open for it. You know, he's really open to it. Or that's what I'm getting. Yeah, and sometimes he'll be open, sometimes he won't. Sometimes you'll be open, sometimes you won't. But we're each responsible for our own freedom. No one can cost me my peace. I say, no one can hurt me, that's my job. Okay, you two are remarkable, remarkable. Thank you. You're amazing.
To learn more about the work of Byron Katie, read Loving What Is, and visit Katie's website, www.thework.org. where you'll find more information about the School for the Work, weekend intensives, and other programs with Katie. You're welcome to make copies of this program and distribute them freely, as long as it's not for commercial use. For commercial use, please contact bk@thework.org.